You know, we entered into this series 2 Sundays ago. Really asking God to help us to make a decision about being the church. And I shared with you that this series has really been on my heart for a while. And when I entered into this, I really didn't know what was going to come of it. Because the series is more than just listening to 3 messages, and we're going to finish up the 3rd message today. It's been a whole lot more. It's been you taking time to do some studies during the week and to pray about some things. And I didn't really know what to expect. And let me tell you a little bit of what has happened, because God is doing something in the midst of His people. So I talked with you. You've been openly sharing with me that this decision we have to make is crucial at this time. You say, what decision that we have to make? Well, I'll just kind of remind you, remember, this kind of was summed up by someone who gave me this out of their prayer time, and he didn't realize that it fit with where we're at right now. And it's really a question that I think God is asking us. What would be more pleasing to God for us as a church, as Kerwinsville Christian Church? What would be more pleasing? Making what we already have happy and content, that is, all of us here being happy and content with what we have right now, we're just okay with who we are? Or being what we know God wants us to be? Being what we know God wants us to be. And so we've been asking ourselves that question. And so really started to happen really on that first Sunday night at prayer meeting. You know, we have a prayer time every Sunday night here. And the reality of that prayer time is that we normally have about 5 people show up. Well, that first Sunday after that first message, we had 9. And it was like a powerful meeting. God was in that meeting. And I shared that with you last week. The next Sunday night, last Sunday night, we had 18 show up. And it was a powerful time of seeking God's face. And so I was in a grace group, leading a men's group on Thursday night, and was talking with the guys about it. We kind of set aside our study, and we're talking about this series that we're going through. And a couple of them had a testimony that I had asked them to share with you this morning about what God is doing as we seek to answer this question, to make this decision. So I'm going to ask them to come. Guys, if you'll come. And I'm going to give them an opportunity to share. They even agreed to share. And so I'm going to let them share. First, I'm going to let Corey share, and then I'll let Nate. It's ready, bud. All right, man. Thank you, guys. You know, maybe you're here, and as I've been mentioning about the prayer time coming, if God is pulling you, you need to respond. Period. You know, this is the question we're asking ourselves is, what does... Are you tired of doing church? I'm tired of doing church. God is calling us to move beyond just doing church, to be in the church. And so what we've done over the last few weeks is we've kind of looked at it. First of all, the first week was spent, and if you prayed your way through that, and we've been fasting for 21 days, and some of you have been fasting now for 14 days, and if you haven't started but you feel now that maybe you need to, you can fast for 7. And what you're doing is just giving up one thing. Some of you have been giving up TV and chocolates and a meal or 2 meals. But give up something and seek after God. I mean, that song Brad had us sing, I'm desperate for you, is that your heart cry? Lord, I'm desperate for you to show up in our church. And see, the whole basis of this series is that I can't make you be desperate for God. You've got to be desperate for Him. So we spent that first week really looking at what our true condition is. Where are we really? And let's be honest, we've been bankrupt. We've been playing a game. The next week we looked at where we should be and really looked at what does God expect from His people, from His church, a people who really love Him and a people who really genuinely care and are there for others around them. And we're really prayed about becoming that kind of a church. Now this week, and if you have your Bible, you can turn to Revelation chapter 2. This week, we are going to really look at what we need to do to get there. We're really going to look at what needs to happen for you and I to get to where we need to be in our lives personally with God and where we need to be as a church. Are you desperate for God? Here's what we need to do if we're going to seek after Him. If we're going to be the church that He's calling us to be. Listen, my friends, doing church is no longer enough. Listen to His Word. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel or messenger of the church at Ephesus write, "These things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hands, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you have tested those that say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Because you have hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." May God's Word really speak to us this morning. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what we need to do, because reality is this. When you look at how we've been doing, because you come up and say, "Oh man, George, things have been going good. I mean, we don't have any debts. Financially, we're doing fine. You even got one of those crazy things on your head. Somebody paid for that for you to be able so we can hear you better." Yes, I know I look like a telemarketer. Okay? But don't close your mind to me because I look like one. So things have been going good on the surface, but you got to get beneath the surface. And here's the reality. No passion for God. No burden for people. No power for ministry. On the surface, everything looks good. On the surface, we come together for each other. I mean, the ladies did a great job yesterday with the funeral meal. On the surface, everything looks good. But beneath the surface, we got to get beneath the surface. No passion. No burden, no power. And the reality of that is because God is not here. God is not working in the way that He should be. You say, is it possible for a church to just do without God being there, without the proper motivation? Yes, we just read about one called Ephesus. It's possible to do church and do church right, but do it out of the wrong motivation. And so what we're going to look today in our passage is we're going to look at a course of action. We're going to look at what we need to do. This is the final message. What we need to do as a church, and we've got a decision we've got to make. Whether we're just going to be happy and content with what we have, or what's up on the screen, or being what we know God wants us to be, or you being what God wants you to be. Some of you have shared that with me, that you have realized that as you have been going through this and you have been praying, that God has been saying to you, you need to get out of the way. I have something so much more for you. That's reality. Let's look at Christ's view of the church. A couple things here. First thing I want you to notice, and I want you to realize this about Jesus, is that He knows everything about the church. It's real easy for us to snow people, you know that? Maybe you're good at snowing people. You know what I mean by snowing people? That is, putting on a front where everything looks okay on the outside, and if people were to ask you how you're doing, fine, and you look good, you got it together, you act together, you dress nice, I mean, you're okay, but on the inside, you're a mess. And you're a mess, but the reality is that maybe nobody else knows you're a mess. Maybe not even your spouse knows you're a mess. So maybe he's got some hints or she's got some hints. But the reality is you're good. But on the inside, you're not. And we can snow people, can we not? We can snow people. We practice in the art of snowing people. So all of us here are graduates in the art of snowing people. Period. But my friends, you can't snow God. You can't snow God. He knows everything. He doesn't look on the outward appearance of how we're looking and how we're profiling, how we're posing. He doesn't look at any of that. He looks right smack dab at our hearts. And He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. He knows everything about this church and what's going on in the midst of this church and what is our motivation and why we do what we do. And this is what He was saying to the church. He says, I know thy works. And here's the reason why He knows our works, because when you look at that first verse, He says, these things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Now, here's what we know from chapter 1. Seven stars are the leaders, the angels, the pastors of those churches, and the lampstands are the churches themselves. Jesus walks in the midst of His church, and believe me, He sees everything. He knows everything. So He knows exactly what's going on in the church. He knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. He knows everything about the church. He goes on and look with me at verse 2. He says, I know your works and your labor, and I want you to listen to what they were doing. Here's their labor. Here's what was happening with this church. Your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Boy, sounds like a great church, doesn't it? I mean, they were people of the book. I mean, they read their word. They knew their word. They tested people by the word. They were people who endured suffering and were patient. They were loving. Man, great church. I want to be a part of that kind of church. But listen, I want you to see something. Look with me the very next thing that he says there. But, nevertheless, I have this against you. Here's what I want you to see. Here's the point. While doing church is okay, it is not enough. While doing church is okay, it's not enough. See, we've gotten into the mode today of what, okay, Sunday, got to go to church, going to be a good Christian. And this is what, be a good Christian, that's how we term it, is to come to church. Be a good Christian. Come to church. And we tell other people, come to church. Like, coming to church and doing church is going to be enough to transform their lives. But my friends, it isn't going to transform their lives. Doing church is not going to transform anything. Here's a church that was doing all the right stuff, all the right things. This was a prominent church. I mean, this church was started by the Apostle Paul himself. They had a wealthy community. I mean, this church was it. It was a happening place. And he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. It wasn't enough. You say, well, man, if what we're doing is not enough, then what's missing? Being the church. Being the church is doing is not enough. See, you and I have got to grasp that. See, here's what can happen. Well, let me give you the next point. They had lost their love for Jesus. They had lost their love for Jesus. Listen, I'll be honest with you, most Christians are robots. Here's what I mean by that. We get into a routine of repetition, 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 that we forget the very reason why we're doing what we're doing. So on Sunday morning, we get up and we come. And the offering plate is passed and we give and we sing and we pray and then we leave. And we maybe do something during the week, but then we're back on Sunday and we do the same thing over and over and over again. And you do what you do, and it can almost become a mindless thing. So that when you walk out of here, and if you're at home or you're in some restaurant, and you pause for a moment and you think about, well, what did I just do? What did I just hear George talk about? What did we just sing? You can't even remember. Because it's become mindless. Oh, we're doing church. Love me, Jesus. I'm doing what I should be doing. But see, doing's not enough. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. Think about this. In your relationship with your spouse, you know exactly what I mean. Just simply doing is not enough with your spouse, is it? I mean, you can do all kinds of nice things and just be even ritualized, like, I help with the laundry. So I do the laundry every week. But if there is no love, they just see right through it, don't they? Believe me, they do. If you're deceived here, they see right through it. See, Jesus sees right through it too. He says, I see all your works, I see all the things that you're doing, man, it's great, but I got one problem with you. Here's the problem. You forgot me. You forgot me. Now think about that. Let's be honest. Let's have confession time, self-confession time. Don't say it out loud, but in your heart. Let's see. You can go days without thinking about Jesus. Is that not true? Isn't that true? You can go days without thinking about Him at all. You're just doing your thing. Oh, you're here. Is that good enough, George? No, it's not good enough. No, it ain't good enough. Because you don't have the right reason for being here. It's got to come out of love. So this is how he's seeing the church. This is the view of the church. Listen, my friends, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be really honest with ourselves. Things are going good here at Cronensville Christian Church. If you look at it from a human perspective. But if Jesus looked at us, what would He say? I think if we were honest with ourselves, what He would say is, you've forgotten your first love. Church, we have forgotten our first love. Let's admit it. We have forgotten our first love. Individual sitting in that pew, you've forgotten your first love. You know, the interesting and wonderful thing about Jesus is He just doesn't leave us hanging. He just doesn't point out our condition and say, okay, well, it's up to you now to figure out what to do. Out of His grace and His love, He exposed to the church their condition, and then He tells them what they need to do. Listen to me. Out of His love and concern for us, He brought us to this point as a church to make a decision. He brought us to a point of recognizing that we have just been doing church, and doing church is not enough. We've got to become the church. We've got to be the church. So I want you to listen to what he tells the Ephesians, because what he tells them is applicable. It means that we can apply it right here to us, right now, in our lives and as a church, to get us back on the right course of loving him again the way we should. Look with me. Verse 5 says it all. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Four things I can see out of this verse that are going to help us. A course of action here that you and I need to apply to our lives to be what God wants us to be. The first thing he tells us is this: reflect on the true condition of the church. Reflect on the true condition of the church. He calls us to remember. And here's the application for the church he's talking about here. He's calling this church, this prominent church, to remember. To remember what? If you go all the way to the book of Acts and you see when the Apostle Paul was there, God was doing some mighty things in that city because of the church. People were coming to know Christ. People were being healed. People were turning from their wicked lifestyles. People were turning from the worship of Satan back to God. God was doing miraculous things. His presence was known in the midst of his people, and it was powerful. There was a genuine love there for God. But fast forward to 50 years to the time of the writing of this letter. They were still doing the right things, but they had forgotten their love. So what's Jesus say to them? Remember. Remember when I worked in your life. Remember when you loved me so much that you just wanted to please me because I saved you. Remember. My friends, he's calling us to remember, to reflect upon. He's telling us to look at where we are right now. Listen, you can't be sitting here and saying, I'm satisfied with where I'm at in my Christian life. If you're saying that, there is a problem. You haven't even begun to understand what the Christian life is. You haven't begun to understand what it means to have Jesus in the midst of your life and seeing him answering you. See, I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we would have to say, like we just sang, I am desperate for you, Jesus, because I am not where I should be. Period. So he's telling us to reflect on our lives. The next thing he's telling us to do is acknowledge and turn from sin. Acknowledge and turn from sin. He wants us to repent. That's what repent means. Repent means is that I acknowledge, God, I've sinned against you. But it goes one step further than confession. It says, I'm no longer going to do it anymore. I'm going to turn from it. What's he telling us here? We've lost our love, so we're substituting. Here's what happens. You substitute your love. Do you realize that? When you move your love from one area, you move it to something else. So like, for instance, you know, people will come to you, couples will say, well, I don't love him anymore, or I don't love her anymore. Well, my question will naturally be, well, who are you loving? That's reality, because you moved your love from one place to another. It's the same thing here. When you no longer love Jesus, you've moved your love. And so isn't it interesting? The very next thing he tells them is they recognize their true condition and remember where they've fallen from. He wants them to repent of their sin, because when you take your focus off of Jesus, you put it onto self and sin. Period. Some of you here are holding on to, and you are refusing to let go of areas of sin in your life. And you need to recognize it. You've shifted your love from him to whatever it is that you're holding on to. Period. God's calling you today to acknowledge it and turn from it, to give it up, to let go, and grab a hold of him. That's reality. Let go. It's only destroying you anyhow. It's only ruining your relationship with Jesus. Turn back to him That's what he's telling these folks to do. My friends, that's what he's telling us to do. Turn back. The third thing there, notice what he says. And do the first works. What's he saying here? Live out of a genuine love for Jesus. Live out of a genuine love for Jesus. See, you're going to quit doing, you're going to start being. That's what he's saying. Be here. You live your life out of a genuine heart for Christ. Period. He wants you to turn, let go of that sin, recognize where you are, let go of the sin, and then as you embrace Him again, you now live for Him because you really want to live and do what He wants you to do. Listen, my friends, He's tugging on some of you here today. He is saying to you, I have something more for you. Something more. Something I want to do through you. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Be the one He's called you to be. It's time for us to be the people He's called us to be. Because, my friends, there's something else you need to know from this verse. Look with me. The last part, it's our fourth point, but it's the last part of verse 5. And it's pretty sobering. He says this, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Here's my point. Recognize our future is at stake. You know, we have a question here we've got to answer. And let me just kind of go back through the question here. What would be more pleasing to God for Kerwinsville Christian Church? I want you to ask that question for yourself right now. What would be more pleasing to God for you, Joe Schmo or Cindy Q or whatever? What's more pleasing to God for George Cannon? Here's the choice I have to make. Making what I already have content or happy, or making you content or happy, or making the church content or happy? That's the first choice we have. The second choice is, or being what we know God wants us to be. Because here's the implication. This is not just something that we can just pass by, fluff over, snuff over, and say, oh, that's an interesting series George just did. I can't wait till we get back to Luke. I can't. Because you see, my friends, God brought us to this crisis point of making a decision, and then this verse tells us that based upon our decision, it will determine our future. And here's what He said to them. He said, and if you don't do this, I'm going to take your candle, your lamp, down from its stand. Here's what He's saying. You know what, their candle? You know, we're a light, are we not, as a church? We will cease to be of use to Him. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of churches that are ceasing to be of use, and they have no light no more. They meet together. We'll just become a meeting place, a nice family where we're happy. But Jesus can't use us. Jesus can't use us. My friends, it's the same thing for you. You could just go on and not do what God's calling you to do, but you will become useless to Him. And ultimately, for the church, here's what happens. We will cease to exist. Either really cease to exist by shutting the doors on the place at some point in history, or we will cease to exist even though there's a group of people meeting here. We'll just become a meeting house. We'll cease to be a church. Recognize that our future is at stake. That's what He's telling us here. That's the outcome of the decision, that you and I need to recognize that our future as a church is at stake. I got your attention? So you say, okay, what do I do? Think back again. Reflect on your true condition. Turn and acknowledge from your sin. Acknowledge and turn from your sin. Serve Him, live for Him out of a genuine love for Him. Here's the application. Three things. We've got to ask ourselves this question. What is our true condition as a church? Ask yourself that. What is our true condition? What is Hermansville Christian Church's true condition as a church? Be really honest about that. Listen, if you've been praying through the guide, I encourage you, if you don't have one of these, it's still not too late. You can still work through it. If you've been praying through the guide, that's been the key question all the last 3 weeks, hasn't it? Our true condition, what is it? Acknowledging it, turning from it. You've got to ask yourself that question. What's our true condition? You know what? Take it one step further. Lord, what's my true condition? And the reality is we come to the conclusion that we are bankrupt. Whereas the Apostle Paul says we have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Oh, we look good. But there's nothing there. Second thing I want you to see there is this. We've got to confess our failure. Confess our failure. We have to go to Him and say to Him, Lord, we haven't been the people that You want us to be. Lord, we've been distracted from our love for You. Lord, we've just been doing and satisfied with that. Lord, we're not who we should be. We're just doing church. We're not the church. Forgive us. Lord, I'm not the person I should be. I'm just doing. I'm not being. Forgive me. I need You, Jesus. I need You. And then finally, become what Jesus wants us to be. Church, we've got a decision to make. We have to become the church He wants us to be. The reality is that if we choose not to, listen to His Word, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. If we become what He's asking us to be, the world has not seen the reality of a church that is totally sold out to Him and the impact it can have in the world. And He presents to us a decision. Be what I called you to be and have that impact. Or just keep doing what you're doing and being satisfied with that. That's the choice we have to make. Let's pray.